Greetings. Lord, we humbly come before you in the name of our God and our Savior, Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father, creator of all the heavens and the earth. Holy is your name. Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to come and teach and anoint the words that come out of my mouth, that go into the ears of the hearer, into the hearts, and may produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness in Jesus' name. And this is called the order of the Lord. This is the counter. This is the original pattern of the Lord's world order. Now we have a new world order, which is a Confederate order, and it's those who rage against, well, the Lord. The sort of rage against the machine. The orchestrator of the whole universe, the one who put it together. Let's look at Isaiah 28. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? Obviously not. Knowledge is someone who's been taught, and understanding is something that's gained. It's not for babies. Verse 10, for precept must be on precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Therefore, knowledge is a developed, and understanding are developed. Through training, one is able to discern, through maturity, through heeding instruction and counsel. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, who is he? God. This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, if they would not hear it. The rest of the Lord, these are his ordained times and seasons. It's the Hebrew for, we enter into the preordained, the foreordained works that the Lord has for us by seeking him. Our circumstance, line upon line, and then we understand that there are cycles of rest. Once every 7 days, it's Shabbat, once every 7 years, a Shemitah, once every 50 years, the Jubilee. That in these times and seasons, and then there are the feast of the Lord, in which we are commanded to take a break and be taught of the Lord, his laws and his precepts and statutes. And by this, we recognize that we can't make it happen. Times, and if we do, we are operating under another spirit. The rest, the Sabbath is made for the people, not for God. He doesn't need a Sabbath. He has already entered into his rest. He is at rest with his entire creation. Times and laws are ordained by him. The times and seasons, as it says in Daniel 13. But the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Okay, so this is what it is. It's like, do not take elementary mathematics, 1 + 1 = 2, and go on to higher algebra in the next lesson. One thing at a time. First you learn the basics of arithmetic, then you go to mathematics, then you go to algebra, then you go to geometry, then trigonometry, and calculus. You don't start out with calculus. So precept upon precept. Okay, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. So not obeying the Lord's ordination, his covenant, his precepts, his instruction causes you to go backwards. You don't get ahead. You are broken. You are not whole. You are snared. That means you are no longer free. And you are in prison. That means you're in bondage. You are no longer walking in the freedom and liberty of obedience in foreordained works. God's word is the judgments, his blessings for obedience, his curses for disobedience. And for those who keep his covenant, the Ten Commandments, then he blesses. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men, verse 14, who rule this people or in Jerusalem, or or Moscow, or Rome, or London, or Washington, D.C., or Beijing, you know, or New Delhi. Hear this, hear this. You who rule, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell, Sheol, we are in agreement. In other words, we're going to come under these other spirits, and we're going to come against the ordained law and order of God. Now, and these people, these rulers who are opposed to God, that God says, when the overflowing scourges passes through, this is what they say, when God's judgment comes on, it will not come to us. We'll be protected because we're in a higher place. For we have made lies our refuge. We have not walked in the truth. And under falsehood, we have hidden ourselves. And we, in other words, then the falsehood and the lies that I'm in control. They have made a covenant with the father of lies, the covenant breaker, the warlock, the destroyer. Verse 16, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. This is speaking of Yeshua the Messiah. Whoever believes will not act hastily. In other words, we're to seek the Lord and not act presumptuously too quickly. 17, also, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. These are the foundations of God's throne, righteousness, truth, justice, and mercy. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. In other words, God will use the very acts of nature to expose these people and their shenanigans, their refuge of lies and their hiding places, what they're doing in secret and shame. Your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. You'll get away with it for a certain season, but you will be exposed by the judgments of God. As often as it goes out, it will take you, and from morning by morning it will pass over you, and by day and by night, it would be a terror just to understand the report. In other words, terror, the wrath of God, will come upon you. And, okay, so for the bed is too short to stretch out on, and the covering so narrow that one cannot wrap himself in it. In other words, they're not going to be able to get it. Okay, they're not going to be covered. They're not going to be at rest. The bed is too short to stretch out on. They're not at rest. They're driven. They're obsessive. They're compulsive. They're pushed around. They're tormented. They don't sleep well at night. There's no rest for the wicked. And the covering so narrow that one cannot wrap himself in it. There's no mantle. There's no anointing. You will be exposed. You cannot wrap yourself in it. You will not. Your shame will be exposed. You cannot hide what is done in secret. Your nakedness will be exposed to the world. For the Lord will rise up as at Mount Perazim. He will be angry as in the valley of Gibeon. Now this is at a time when Joshua went in to take the promised land and dealt with the giants in the land. And the powers of nature, which were summoned by God, came to his assistance that he may do his work. This is God's work, his awesome work. It's way beyond the natural, supernatural, and bring to pass his act, his unusual act. In other words, this is supernatural. It's out of your box. It's outside of the ordained principles of laws and order, but it's his act. And his ways are far beyond finding out unless he reveals them. Now, therefore, do not be mockers, lest your bonds be made strong. So these God mockers, their bonds are going to become stronger and stronger. For I've heard from the Lord of hosts a destruction determined, even upon the whole earth. And I say Selah to that. Selah, Selah, Selah. That the Lord clearly states that he reigns in his counsel. And this is understanding and knowledge comes with those who understand God's ways, who seek after him. And those who don't, their bondage, their driving, their destruction, all of these things are going to come upon them. Let's look about the order. Okay, God says he has an order. He has a line upon line, statute upon statute, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So the first one that we looked at is the rest. We looked at the Sabbath, you know, God's laws, you know, I should keep the Lord's day holy, one day in six, you know, work, and then seventh day. And Hebrews 4 talks, so there's a Sabbath order. And on the Sabbath, there's also an offerings. And let's look at Leviticus 24:8. You shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes with it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each cake. You shall set them in two rows, six in a row, on the pure gold table before the Lord. That represents the glory of God. And you shall put pure frankincense on each roll, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now the frankincense is worship and prayers, and the bread is Jesus, the bread of life, daily bread. We need him every day. And this is an offering made by fire. It's purified and purged. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. Every seventh day he will remember. These are the remembrances of the Lord in the New Testament, that we enter in the Hebrews 4 rest of the Lord, that we are to set our house in order. Every seventh day we sit back, we stop the normal order of war, and remember that he is the bread of life, that our worship and our prayers, that we seek him as a memorial. We remember him and seek him to find out his ways, and that we ask God to help us put aside those things that are out of order for this week, for the last week, and to set it in order for the next week. And therefore, we are in an everlasting covenant. It's before the Lord continually. We are set in order weekly. And God sets the tabernacle in order, which we are the tabernacle now, the body of Christ. We are the temple. But let's see what he says about this. Exodus 40, you shall bring in the table and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it. That's the feast. It speaks of the feast, the table. You set the table. You decorate it for to eat or to feast. And you shall bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. You need a light to illuminate. Jesus is the light of the world. So you bring these things into your tabernacle. You bring order and you arrange your thoughts. Your table. You shall also set on, and you, the glory of God, you are the vessel of the glory of God. And the incense before the ark of the testimony. You shall also set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, which is our worship, the fruit of our lips, the praise and worship, and the prayers, intercessions, supplications, petitions, and put up the screen for the door of the tabernacle. Now, to me, this says that this is not for everyone to have access. This is your, you know, Holy of Holies in your heart, where you are communing with Christ in intimacy. And then you shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the meeting. The burnt offering before the door shows that outside that you have crucified the flesh and burned it, that you no longer operate in the flesh, and that the fragrance, the incense that's diffused about you, the aroma, the fragrance is that of the Holy Spirit and your offering. And you shall set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. That means you, the laver is the place of cleansing and washing before you meet with God and come to worship him. The tabernacle, meeting, and the altar. And put water in it. Water for cleansing. Water for refreshing. Water for healing. For sustaining. And you shall set up the court all around and hang up the screen at the court gate. And so these are the treasures. These are the mysteries. These are the inner workings of who we become as that we carry the presence of the Lord God. We set our house in order, and then God dwells with us. Now let's segue to another type of order. Set your house in order. 2 Kings 20, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. And this was because of obedience, disobedience. This was a judgment that God made. But your house, your carnal house, your the soul shall die in order for God to live. That's just a spiritual principle. Set your battle in order. 1 Kings 20:14. Then he said, who will set the battle in order? Okay, when God is calling you to pull down strongholds, vain imaginations, philosophies, traditions, and men, all things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, that don't you know that our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God? It's not carnal. You know, that we put on the whole armor of God to go in to do certain kind of battles, strategic intercession, prayer, and so on. Then there's an order to that. And if you're out of order and you've opened up places in your armor, or you're out of order under God's authority and headship with his designated anointing and leading, you will be in trouble. The enemy will trouble you and your house. Set the office in order. 1 Chronicles 6:31. Now, these are the men whom David appointed over the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark came to rest. They were ministering with music before the dwelling of the tabernacle of meeting until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they served in their office according to their order. So the musicians had an office, just like an orchestra. We had the violins, first, second, third strings. We've got the timpani, the drums over here. We've got the brass section over here. You know, the percussion session. If we have, you know, more strings like the piano and the flutes. And so we all have, there's an order, and then it's conducted by order. Otherwise, there's no unity. There's no melody. There's no harmony. It's an order to be orchestrated. So these are offices that God has within his house and according to gifts and callings.